The Gemara in the Sanhedrin, Daf Vav, discusses a category called a toos b'shikul adas, a mistake in weighing things with one's intellect. And the Gemara defines a toos b'shikul adas as, let's say that there's two Tanoim who argue, or two Amoraim who argue, and there's a sugya ba'alma, or a sugya d'shmaita, that supports one and goes against the other. And in such a case, the Gemara says, if a dayan makes a mistake, so it's not, doesn't undo the entire din that he passed in, but rather, under some circumstances, he's absolved of liability, and under other circumstances, he has to pay for the person whom he incorrectly caused to lose money. I want to discuss two things. First of all, what precisely, or more precisely, is the definition of a toos b'shikul adas? And second of all, what exactly is the status of this type of mistake in halacha? And I'll clarify each of these questions as we approach them. First of all, more precisely, what is a toos b'shikul adas? How strong must the evidence be against the ruling of this dayan? What type of evidence indicates to us that he's wrong? Because keep in mind, he wasn't toa bidvar mishnah. It's not something which is explicit that he was wrong. It was something which is implicit by way of inference. The question is, if we say that there's a very strong inference that he's wrong, that already approaches a toos bidvar mishnah. And it'll be hard to differentiate what exactly is the difference between toos and shikul adas and dvar mishnah. On the other hand, if we say that there's very weak evidence that he's wrong, so then it becomes difficult for us to understand why we're able to reverse the din, because he can marshal evidence on his side to claim that he was right, and the evidence that he was wrong is only a little bit stronger than the evidence that he was right. So why is the din Torah reversed? Why can't he say, I certainly had what to rely upon? The Gemara in truth is going to discuss this later on Daf Lamed Gimel, but in our sugya there's a couple of quick ha'aros to make. First of all, what constitutes a toos and shikul adas? So the Rambam writes that if the custom of everyone understands that the halacha is otherwise, even if their understanding is not based on weighing all the different factors, but if this has become the accepted and acknowledged and known halacha, and even though one can marshal proof otherwise, one can marshal proof that the acknowledged and accepted halacha is incorrect, still, if one paskins against what's acknowledged to be the halacha, that's a toos in shikul hadas, and it causes the case to become undone. And very similarly, Rashi on Daf Lamed Gimel says that a toos in shikul hadas is a mistake, not because there's stronger evidence to the contrary, perhaps there is, but it's a mistake because it goes against the minhag of dayanim, that most people who judge cases judge them in one way, and this judge judged it a different way, and even though he had evidence, but because he went against the practice of most judges, so therefore he was toa in shikul hadas. Rashi over here, and the Ramah, and others mention that perhaps there's a different definition. It's not a matter of common practice, but rather, or common knowledge, but rather it's a matter of drawing an inference from the Gemara. The way that they formulate it is that perhaps you have a machlokes between one Tana and another Tana, one Amora and another Amora, and the Gemara itself, meaning Ravina and Rav Ashi and all the Chachamim who contributed to writing the Gemara, they brought a series of proofs against one opinion, and then they answered up all of the proofs. But from the fact that they were striving to sort of disintegrate, to destroy one opinion, and to uphold the other, even though ultimately they weren't successful in disproving the first opinion, but the fact that the sages who wrote the Gemara felt that this was what the direction that Psak should go in, to disprove one opinion and to prove the other opinion, and they succeeded in defending the other opinion, but they certainly believe that the one opinion is more compelling, and that can be inferred from what they wrote in the Gemara. That's called the Sheikh Tos and Sheikh Oladas. If the Dayan, if the judge, ignored what it was the clear intention of Ravina and Rav Ashi and all of the Chachamim who gave them advice in terms of how to write the Gemara, and instead Paskin, like the one opinion which was struggling to defend itself in the Sugya. Or else another pshat that's given in Tos B'Shikol Adas is that in one place in Gemara, so there's a machlokes, and the Gemara doesn't give you an indication one way or another in that Sugya, but perhaps somewhere else in Shas, there's an indication from the Stama de Gemara, the part of the Gemara that was written by Ravina and Rav Ashi and wasn't simply anthologized from earlier discussions in the Beis Medrash. There's an indication that all of the sages, all of the Chachamim, the Chachmei Hador of the generation of Ravina and Rav Ashi, that they felt that one opinion was correct, but not explicitly so, only implicitly so. The Gemara assumes one opinion elsewhere, even though it doesn't make that assumption explicit. If a Dayan goes against that implicit assumption, it's a Taos and Shikol Hadas. So these are four opinions about what exactly a Taos and Shikol Hadas is. So now I want to turn to the second question about a Taos and Shikol Hadas, and that is, how exactly do we treat it? Do we treat it as a Taos in the Dvar Mishnah, meaning do we treat it as if there is compelling evidence against this Dayan, or do we treat it as if it's sort of like still an equal uncertainty, given that there's no explicit evidence, only an implicit inference or a custom which goes against the Dayan? And this actually emerges in a couple of contexts. The Maharik in a tshuva writes that ordinarily, let's say that there's a Dvar Mishnah, that it's explicitly in a Mishnah, that halacha is so, the person who was wrong, the person who deserves the money, al pi halacha, is entitled, under some circumstances, to take the law into his own hands and to seize the money from the party that's possessing it unrightfully. But this only applies, says the Maharik, when it's explicit in the Mishnah that he wins. If it's only something which emerges from Shikol Hadas, if it's only something which is dependent on what's universally acknowledged, even though there isn't compelling evidence that that's the case, that that's correct, or something which is the practice of judges, or something where there's an implicit inference from the way in which the Gemara was written and structured, he has no right to take it from the other party on his own, and if he takes it, then we take it back from him until they can take the case to court. And the reason for this, I think, is that a Taos and Shikol Hadas is still treated as to some extent a suffix. It's not treated as if it's clear that the law is in accordance with the implicit inference, or that the law is in accordance with the common knowledge or common practice. And therefore, the person who's in possession of the money before the other guy comes and grabs it from him is somewhat validly in possession. And the other guy can't say, oh, I'm positive that the halacha is otherwise, and that's why I was taking it from him. It still is a little bit of a suffix. Based on this, the Kitzos explains as follows. Let's say that a person has absolutely no experience in judging monetary cases, and he judged a case, and he paskined based on and he made an error in Shikol Hadas. So everyone agrees that this ignoramus who erred in Shikol Hadas has to, the case becomes undone. However, there's a dispute about whether this is comparable to a case where he actually paskined correctly or not. And the Kitzos argues that it's only in a case where he erred in Shikol Hadas that the case becomes undone, because Shikol Hadas is still up for grabs, it's still a safik, and therefore the case, it's like a safik, which party ought to win, And based on the psak of this nobody, so somebody grabbed it from the other guy. So that's as if he grabbed it on its own from the other guy, which certainly doesn't work. However, says the Kitzos, in a case where the ignoramus paskin based on what halacha really ought to be, he paskin in accordance with the Mishnah, so then, even if the parties later on, again, that if he's toa in shikol hadas, so then the party who took money based on his psak is certainly not entitled to take the money, and it's as if they grabbed it shalo kedin. However, says the Kitzos, if he paskin in accordance with the real Mishnah, and he was genuinely correct in his psak, so you can't infer from there he's not a judge and then the case has to be judged again, but rather his psak does have authority and does have effect. The one who took money based on his psak is entitled to keep that money. They can't appeal and ask for another judgment or decide to compromise at this later point in time. And I just want to end off with one question based on, we had four definitions of what is a taos b'shikol hadas. Either it's against the accepted, what everyone acknowledges as halacha, or it's against the practice of dayanim, or it's against an inference from the sugya in which the machlokas appears, or it's against an assumption which implicitly supports one of two opinions elsewhere in the Gemara. So the question that is raised and addressed in Achronim, which there's no time to discuss right now, is whether one who paskins against the Shulchan Aruch for Sfardim or against the Ramah for Ashkenazim is considered to be a Toa Bidvar Mishnah, or whether he's considered to be a Toa B'Shikol Hadas. And that's a fascinating question, and hopefully on Daf Lama Gimel we'll have a chance to explore the matter further. Okay, Yashar Koach.